I'd like to start with anything humorous that we find, especially if it interfaces with our topic. So I heard about a monastery in Portugal which was perched high on a 3,000-foot cliff, accessible only by a terrifying ride in a swaying basket. It's pulled with a single rope by several shirtless men who are perspiring under the strain. One American tourist got nervous, especially when he noticed that the rope was old and frayed. He asked, "How often do you change the rope?" And the answer was, "Duh, whenever it breaks." Today we'd like to talk about overcoming insecurity. How many people do you know? And they would stand out in this Kali Yuga like an oak tree in the desert, or completely peaceful and secure. Peaceful in their relationship with other people, peaceful vis-a-vis their circumstances, peaceful and secure in their relationship with God. In fact, today, insecurity is epidemic. And when a person is insecure and you're trying to have a relationship with them, it's very difficult because you always have to keep them fixed all the time. You have to be careful what you say, what you do, for fear that you'll hurt their feelings. If you're an insecure person, it's important to note that the whole world can't just dance around your insecurities. It's not fair to intimidate people in that way. If you're a Krishna devotee, by definition, you're not insecure. Just the opposite. Krishna wants his devotees to be confident. He wants us to be poised. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to know who we are beyond these bodies. To be truthful, the material world is extremely insecure. We don't dispute that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "Kamala dala jivana, jivana talamala." That this human form of life is tottering like a bead of water on a lotus leaf. It can fall at any moment. Especially in this day and age. The American humorist Will Rogers said, "In the old days, people used to live until they died. Now they just live until they get run over." We have a Rajasthani temple in Spanish Fork. In fact, as far as I know, it's the only Rajasthani temple in all of America. And when I do a tour group, a special tour group, and do a PowerPoint, I tell the story that probably about 100 years ago, up until 100 years or so ago, a Rajasthani prince, before he could become king, he would have to undergo a certain rite of passage to prove that he had the mettle that it would take to rule other warriors. As you know, Stan means place, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, Turkestan, and Raj means king. So Rajasthan has a millennium-old tradition of chivalry, bravery, and self-sacrifice. So what this young 14 or 15-year-old boy would have to do would be track down a man-eating tiger and single-handedly kill him. So how does a 140-pound 15-year-old boy achieve parity with a 600-pound tiger who's full of muscles, who's got steak knives for teeth, switchblades on the end of every finger, and can move faster than the eye can see? The only implements he's allowed are a little shield for his forearm and a dagger. And the secret is, he needs to have the stoutness of heart to stare the tiger in the eye without blinking. As long as you can do it and you don't falter and you don't blink, the tiger will adopt a submissive attitude. So without getting into all the various details, and I'm not saying that we have to learn to look a real tiger in the eye, I'm speaking figuratively, but if you can't look people in the eye, if you can't square your shoulders and give them a firm handshake, if you don't feel confidence and meaning in your life and purposefulness, you're going to miss 99% of what Krishna wants you to have. I'd like you to look at insecurity today in a new way. It's not some kind of badge of specialness or entitlement that we get to wear. If anything, it's a badge of immaturity. We need to get beyond it, and we need to get over it, and we need to grow up. Because as long as we're feeling insecure, our lives will be filled with timidity, with turmoil, with apprehension, with struggle, and frustration. But knowing who we are beyond this temporary, fallible, mutable material world, knowing that we are not born of matter, we are not born of darkness, we are created from God, and He is Sat Chit Ananda, full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity. So we're of the same nature. We are created in His image. Nothing can destroy us. We talk about the fortunate and the unfortunate. We talk about the haves and the have-nots. There's a lot of social consciousness and social reformation around today. And I'm not disputing that. From a material point of view, there are vast inequities. But from a spiritual point of view, there is no living being in this creation who is unfortunate. From a spiritual point of view, we were fortunate in the very manner of our creation. We can never, ever be destroyed. In the Bhagavad Gita, which we're celebrating this week, Krishna says, Natu evaham jitu nasham natum neme nitchaiva nabhivishami sarva vaya matapava. Never was there a time when I did not exist, so God is speaking, we all know that. But then He says to Arjuna, who is a jiva soul just like you and me, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us ever cease to be. So we are all created fortunate, and there is no combination or permutation of material circumstances which will ever make us unfortunate. And so if you have this truth embedded within you, you'll have confidence. And if you don't go through life with confidence, it means that there's a short circuit somewhere inside you. There's two wires that should be fused together, but some or other they're disconnected. I heard about a team of botanists that were looking for rare species of flowers in the high Alps. And they looked down over a chasm to see far, far below them a beautiful rare species of flower. But in order to retrieve it, someone would have to be lowered down with a rope. They found a village boy nearby and they offered him some money and told him what was involved. And he was excited but somewhat apprehensive. He also got to the edge of the 1,000-foot precipice and looked down, seemed to make a decision. He says, I'll be right back. He left and he came back sometime later with a middle-aged man. He says, I'll do it. I'll agree to be lowered down into the chasm by a rope, but on the condition that this man does it. He's my dad. So on this occasion of celebrating Gita Jayanti, maybe it's time that we rededicated ourselves to reading our scripture and start believing and trusting what our Heavenly Father says about us in the Bhagavad Gita and acting like it. Acting confident, acting healthy, acting whole, acting like I have the Lord of millions and millions of universes, Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic powers inside of me. Let's resolve on this occasion to stare the metaphorical tiger in the face and not blink. Well, Charu, that sounds awfully good, and I sure wish I felt that way. We're not talking about feelings. We're talking about making a decision. You make a decision, you decide how you're going to live, how you're going to think, how you're going to comport yourself, how you're going to interact with other people, and then the feelings will catch up later. Everything in Krishna's economy is based on believing first and seeing later. I believe what Krishna says about me in the Bhagavad Gita more than I believe what my mind says. I believe what Krishna says about me in the Bhagavad Gita more than what my emotions or more than what my feelings say. I believe what Krishna says about me in the Bhagavad Gita more than what other people say. This is where I stand. I stand firmly on the word of God as enunciated in the Bhagavad Gita. And that confidence is not based on who we are, but it's a confidence based on whose we are. Don't make the mistake when there's a challenge facing you of inventorying your resources, your talents, your abilities, your birth, your bank balance, your education. No, no. Stand on the promises of the Lord who is Aishwarya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Sriya Jnanam Vayagyas Tibi Shanam Bhagavatindana. Full with six opulences, wealth, strength, beauty, fame, knowledge, and renunciation. And He's resident within each and every one of our hearts. So this is a confidence not based on how you compete or how you compare with anybody else. Each one of us is an original. God made us unique. He didn't make a carbon copy. If He wanted us all to be the same, then why did He give each one of us a unique fingerprint? If He wanted us to be the same, then why did He give each and every one of us a unique DNA? The fact is that he made each and every one of us different. He made each and every one of us different. And it's okay. It's okay. You teenagers in junior high school and middle school, I'm repeating this. It's okay. It's okay to be different. You don't have to be and act and compare yourself to anybody else. All you have to be is the person that God made you to be. It's okay. I may not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. I'm okay. I'm on my way. Today, I make less mistakes than I did a year ago. And a year from now, if I keep moving ahead, I'll make less mistakes than I do at the present point in time. Before we became familiar with Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, it's safe to say that most of what we did was wrong. Because without understanding the song of God, the words of God, we don't know what's proper, we don't know what's improper. We don't know what's clean, we don't know what's unclean. We don't know what's to be done, and we don't know what's not to be done. So it's safe to say that pre-Krishna consciousness, most of what we were doing was wrong. But once in a while, we fell by accident into doing something right. After familiarizing ourselves with the laws of God and the will of God and the ways that the universe works and runs, now we've repatterned our behavior so that most of what we do is right. However, once in a while, we accidentally do something which is wrong. But that's okay. We're doing less wrong today than we used to, and in the future, we'll do less wrong than we are at the present. We can't change by adopting what other people are doing. No meaningful change will come about by looking to the right and looking to the left. We have to change, but not externally. We have to allow Krishna to change us from within. And our principal method for that transformation is chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you live insecure, you're going to live in fear and timidity. You're going to be afraid to try. You're going to be afraid to step out. What if I fail? What if people laugh at me? What if people criticize me? What if I miss God's purpose for my life? What if I misinterpret what He wants me to do? Well, that's okay. If you miss God, He knows where to find you. It's simple. You try something. If it doesn't work out, you try something else. If it doesn't work out, you try something else. If that doesn't work, you try something else until you find what it is that Krishna wants you to do to glorify Him in this world and to be a benefit to other living beings. When you have this kind of confidence, you're not afraid to try new things. You know that just because you failed once or twice or thrice, that doesn't make you a failure. You're only a failure when you quit trying, when you stop moving ahead. Insecure people are easily offended. They're touchy, 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 touchy. They need excessive amounts of encouragement. And the interesting thing is that insecure people cannot correct themselves. As their friend, as their well-wisher, you may give them a good piece of constructive advice, but they just retract within themselves like a turtle within his shell and take it as rejection. Likely what you're saying is right. Likely Krishna has been trying to whisper the same thing to them from within for a long period of time. And basically, the message is, reach out, extend yourself, don't just stay cooped up in your shell. You cannot become what Krishna intends you to become as long as you're living in a shell. And it's interesting because Krishna never expects us to produce something which He hasn't given us beforehand. Krishna shows us mercy and then He asks us to be merciful to other people. Krishna shows us love and then He asks us to love other people. Krishna forgives us and then He asks us to extend forgiveness to other people. Krishna makes us right with Him and then He asks us to act in a proper way towards other living beings. So I'm asking us today to tell ourselves that we have what it takes. We're going to do the work, we're going to cultivate and plant and water so that the spiritual self blooms and blossoms from within and produces fruits that everybody can see. Not that the fruit of the Spirit is some secret little thing, not that I'm going to be with Krishna, but nobody knows. No. In the Calcutta Botanical Gardens, there's a banyan tree that spans 5 acres. 500 years ago, that banyan tree was contained in a small microscopic seed. The entire blueprint of the banyan was contained within that seed. But in order for it to transform itself into what it was meant to be, it had to die to its old self. It could no longer be a seed. It had to extend little tendrils. It was covered over by dark dirt. It was packed down. There was pressure, there was warmth, and gradually the seed ceased to be a seed as it extended its little tendrils here and there in the process of becoming what it was meant to become. So in the same way, before Krishna consciousness, we are maybe insecure, we're maybe apprehensive, we're maybe afraid, and very rightly so, because this material world is a place of danger at every step. But if we read the Bhagavad Gita and ingest the Bhagavad Gita, and if we move forward, if we key our actions and plan our future based on what Krishna says about us in the Bhagavad Gita, and not in terms of conforming or comparing ourselves to other people, we're okay, we're going to be on our way, and we're going to get to where we need to go, and we're going to be everything that we need to be. Here's a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto. A person who has completely concentrated his energy in the devotional service of the Lord has become very, very dear to the Lord. As such, if by chance or mistake he does something which is forbidden, the Lord takes compassion for the devotee's accidental mistake and corrects him from within. What am I saying? A seed of God resides within each and every one of us. You may neglect it, you may ignore it, you may fail to water it, you may fail to cultivate it, but the fact is that sooner or later that seed of God will only produce, when you decide to get serious, and now's a good time to do that, that seed of God will only produce God. It will only produce godly qualities, godly fruits. It's like the seed of that banyan tree. It's not going to produce an avocado tree, it's not going to produce a pear tree, it's not going to produce an orange tree. It's only going to produce a banyan tree. So the seed of God within us, if and when we decide to get serious about cultivating that seed, it will only produce godly character. But first, we have to come out. We have to come out of our shell. We have to put out roots in love. We have to put out roots in knowledge. We have to put out roots in righteousness. Not, oh, I like Taru's talk last Sunday. It made me feel so good. I hope he talks about that again on some future Sunday. No, you insecure little thing. You've got no confidence. You're the tail and you're not the head. No, you got to take it in this way. When I heard that man say that, something connected within me. I felt a surge. I felt a power. Something went off on the inside. I've got to study more. I've got to dig it out. I've got to chant. I've got to improve the quality and quantity of my chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Got to learn and stand up and become the man or woman of faith that Krishna wants me to be. Nobody can do this for you. You've got to go out and get your victory for yourself. In this sense, we're all pregnant with this seed of God within us. But those of you who are mothers out there know that between the seed and giving birth, there's quite a bit of pain involved. And like as not, during the process of giving birth, there was a male doctor somewhere in the vicinity who's never experienced the pain of childbirth saying, push. Push, Push. That's what I'm saying today on this Gita Jayanti. Push! Let's give birth to some more godly behavior. Let's give birth to some more love. Let's give birth to some more righteousness, some more peace, some more joy. Show everyone what it means, what it looks like to be children of the Almighty Lord. Stop going around saying, oh, I'm so insecure. I'm so afraid. I'm so sick. I'm so tired. No, push! The seed of God is within you. How can you go around dragging your head, moping around like it's the end of the world when you've got the Lord of millions and millions and millions of universes residing right within your heart? Everything you'll ever need for your victory is already in you. The seeds are there. They're potent. All you have to do is water them. And what's the watering process? It's what we call Krishna Katha. Here we read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto. Pardon the Sanskrit. Pibanti te bhagavata atmana satam katamritam shravanabhuta shushamritam punanti te vishaya vidushita sharam vidanti chaks charana charana saruru hantikam. Quote, those who drink through oral reception the nectarine message of Lord Krishna purify the polluted aim of life known as material sense enjoyment and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. What H2O can do for the body, Krishna Katha can do for your heart. It can lubricate it. It can soften what's crusty. It can flush away what's become corrugated, corrupt, and rusty. Water knows what to do. It knows where to go. When you drink water, you don't have to tell it half a pint to the liver, half a pint to the spleen, a pint to the cavity of heart, and half a pint to my scalp because it was itching today. The beautiful thing about water is you don't have to give it any directions. It knows what to do and it knows where to go. But your permission is required. You have to take it in. You have to swallow it in order for it to do you any good. Otherwise, you could be standing in the middle of the Colorado River and still die of thirst. So let's resolve to drink today from the nectarine messages, name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let's resolve on this auspicious day to flush out the insecurity, the guilt, the fear, the anxiety. Let's learn to heed the symptoms of a thirsty spirit which is sending out anger, sending out loneliness, sending out fear, restlessness, sending out a sense of dread. What is all of this? It's the spirit deep down inside calling out, hello, can you send a little moisture? Can we get a little drink down here? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Swallow him, internalize him, drink him through his holy names, ingest him, let him penetrate your heart, and drink often. We don't just drink once a week, once a month, once a year. And those people are healthy. You go to the gym, you see the healthiest people, they got this big, big gallon of water they carry around with them. It's a bottomless well of unlimited, everlasting, eternal nectar. You don't have to drag through life with a dehydrated heart. These waters will transform you. I'm not talking about conforming you. Beware of religious people who would have you conform. No, that's from the outside in. But when you have the holy name of the Lord dancing in the courtyard of your heart, that's what will transform you from the inside out. We're asking you today to recognize that your insecurities are the symptoms of a heart which is dying of thirst. If you'll water the spiritual self with the topics of Krishna, his name, fame, pastimes, form, and paraphernalia, you'll get a new confidence, and the inner self will come alive in ways that you never thought possible. You'll manifest peace, joy, poise, and fulfillment in ways which will amaze other people. By watering those seeds of godliness, which are on the inside, you'll step into a new level of your destiny in this life, and in the next life, go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. And if you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama.